Brothers and sisters, friends, family, visitors, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is risen. Hallelujah. What a beautiful Easter Sunday we have today. It's beautiful because you're here. And it's beautiful because He has promised to send His Spirit, that abiding Comforter, to be with us. It's so good to look out and see your faces. And to our visitors, we extend you a welcome and trust that good Spirit will bring ministry to you this day. I have to grin as I look out and I see many of the men in the congregation sitting singly out there because their companions are singing in the choir. I know how that is. But what a joy it is to have such a hearty choir up here this morning singing these anthems of praise. I'd like to read to you a call to worship out of the Book of Mormon in the first chapter of the Book of Mosiah. And these are the words of King Benjamin, and they're the words that he shared with his people, and they were words that were shared with him by a heavenly messenger, an angel, that appeared to this righteous man and taught him. And I'm beginning at the 97th verse. It says, "For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord Omnipotent, who reigneth, who was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay, and shall go forth amongst men working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick and raising the dead, and causing the lame to walk and the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits, which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptation, and pain of body, hunger, thirst, and fatigue, even more than any man can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and abomination of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning. And his mother, she shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. And even after all this, they shall consider him a man, and say that he hath a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him." And he shall rise again on the third day from the dead. And behold, he standeth to judge the world. And behold, all these things are done, that a righteous judgment might come upon the children of men. As we gather together today and we consider these things, and what Jesus Christ did for us, may our voices join with the choirs in heaven in praise to His holy name.
Thank you. Our Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you that we can come here on this beautiful day and remember this sacrifice that Jesus made for us and how you sent him here to die for our sins, that we might have life and have life eternal. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. Help us to be like you. We pray that you'll bless this hour as we sing our praises to you. And as you bless Mike as he brings the spoken word. And we pray that our hearts might be lifted up towards you, that we might have that love of you and of each other. And we pray for your spirit here today, that it might touch each and every one of us. And we pray that you'll be, not only for your spirit, but for your presence, that it might be felt amongst the people. And not only that, but your presence of your angels as well, that truly we might be blessed, that we might worship you with full intent of heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway went on his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and gained other 5 talents. And likewise he who received 2 talents, he also gained other 2. But he who had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth one what reckoneth with him. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And it goes on, but I just want to bring up the Lord. He gave his all for us. He gave his life and lifted it back up that we might have life without his what he gave for us, his own life. Without that sacrifice, we really wouldn't even be standing. We wouldn't be sitting here today. And so he gave his all, and he asks us to just give a little bit, right, of what he blesses us with. Everything we have, he has given us. And so he asks us to return unto him. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and for all of the opportunities, Lord, to give back to you in whatever way it might be, whether it's through the offertory here or in other callings, Lord. I pray that each day we will be faithful in recognizing what it is you bless us with, Father, all the things that you bless us with, and that we will remember that it is all yours and that you give us everything we need, Lord, everything we desire, and just that we would not be selfish, but that we would remember, Father, to give back to you. Father, Lord, you sacrificed for us everything. And you ask so little of us, Lord. I pray that you would increase our faith and help us, Lord, just to lay our lives into your hands, even as you laid your life down for us. And I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
How great thou art. How great thou art. For my scripture reading this morning, I will be reading from the book of John, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. In verse 44, "Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." May the Lord add his Spirit to the reading of his word.
I see.
Amen and amen. I hope you were listening to the words of that song. That is my sermon. Those are the very things I've been led to study in preparation for this day. So thank you, Kathleen and choir. Beautifully sung. The signs of God's love and creation surround us. I hope that you share the joy that I have in my heart to be in this very place at this very moment. I appreciate your preparations that you've made to come into this house and to worship our God, our Creator, our Savior, and our friend, this Jesus Christ. My hope is that when we leave, we will have a new assurance of His love for each and every one of us, not only in this place, but throughout this land and this world. He loves all. Except a corn of wheat shall fall in the earth, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. This was on the heart of Jesus as he was coming to the reality that the purpose for him coming to this earth was drawing near. And he realized that this was something that he had to do because of his love for us and for his Father who sent him. He didn't do anything except he was commanded by his Father. You know, I was taken by that scripture that I just read. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. Do we fully understand that? He did not come so that he would judge us. He came to save us from our sin. There will be a judgment. Without that judgment, there would be no justice. So the demands of the law had to be met. And he realized this. You know, Jesus was the standard by which we will be judged. But the reason he came was because He loves us. He understood that we are creatures of sin. And that is why He had to die. For He lived on this earth in perfection, without sin. And because of that perfect life and sacrifice, death had no power over Him. But because of His great love, He took upon Himself our sin, that we may truly live. This is why, in His mind, He was thinking of this seed that must die to bring forth fruit. Have you ever been accused of being judgmental? Nobody wants to be judgmental, especially in today's world. You know, I actually have been accused. And that hurt. I didn't remember pointing a finger of scorn or of shame on this person. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that I have chosen to live to a higher standard. And that standard is Jesus Christ. And I assured this person that every day I get up with the intent of keeping the commandments. And every day I fail. So I am no different. It is not me that is being judgmental, but it is the actions of our sinful selves that judge us because of the law. For if we feel guilt, we know within ourselves that we have sinned and that we are imperfect. This is why we need a Savior. We are far from perfect. And who are we to judge the imperfect beings that we are? But we are to love as Jesus loved us. Oh, sure, we struggle every day. But this is a battle that we have chosen to fight. And we will not be left alone. We have that promise. If we believe in our Savior, He will support us in our time of need and help us overcome. The last year of my grandmother's life here on this earth, my uncle drove his truck to pick her up at the nursing home to take her to church. Some of you may have heard this. But as he led her out to the truck, opened the door for his mother, making sure that her leg was in and her coat was inside of the car, closed the door, and didn't realize she had her hand on the top of the door. And so He closed her hand in that door. And he heard a cry. And the blood flowed from her fingers. And he felt horrible. And he wrapped her hand in a towel and walked her back inside. And he knelt beside her and prayed. And they were both crying. And after the prayer, he looked up at her. And I've seen these eyes many times in my life. And she said, "I still love you." And on his way to church, he wondered, why did that have to happen? And he believed it was the Lord's way of reminding him how much he is loved. And it made it real that our sin was the reason that Jesus had to die. I still love you. No matter what sin we have in our lives, Jesus says, "I still love you." I don't care what it is. We all struggle with sin. He still loves us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. A few weeks ago, I was working in the house, and I was working with some hand tools. And before I knew it, I had developed a large blister in my hand, and the skin was torn, and it was raw. And until that happened, I didn't realize how often the palm of my hand comes in contact with things when I'm trying to work. And immediately, I heard in my mind, "I love you." It was just a little reminder of his willingness to sacrifice his perfect life for me. I still love you. Through his stripes we are healed. There's no sign of that blister today. Isn't that amazing? That's a miracle in itself. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. In Mark 14, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was feeling the weight of what was about to come. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and rebuked them, and said unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." If there was any other way to do it, but he knew there wasn't. And he was willing as a lamb to the slaughter. This perfect sacrifice for us. I've been mesmerized this week in the season in which we find ourselves, this springtime. I've always said that fall is my favorite time of year, but the older I get, the more I appreciate the miracle of spring. In the winter, we grow accustomed to the browns and the lifeless, dormant plants. And then something magical happens. We see signs of life coming from seemingly nowhere. It's amazing. In Mark chapter 4, verse 21, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." It's a miracle. I don't know how that happens, but it does. Life comes from death. We're nearing the planting season. I'm sure your farmers are quite aware of that. Mid-April to the end of April, we'll be out in their fields planting these seeds. I did a little study on corn. I learned quite a bit. You'd think I, growing up in a farming community, should know these things, but I just kind of never took time to learn them. They were just things that were. But corn is amazing. From one seed, you get a plant, a stalk. And on each stalk, you get at least one ear. Typically one, sometimes more than one. And I didn't know this, but you know the silks that come out of the end of the ear, there's one silk for every kernel of corn on that ear. And it's the tassel on the top of that plant that pollinates every seed through those silks to every kernel of corn. There is so much order in God's creation. All I knew about sweet corn was it tasted good with a little butter and salt and pepper. But from one seed, you can get an average of about 500. This is the miracle of life. Have you ever watched a seed germinate in time-lapse video? You see the seed right there with the proper amounts of water, oxygen, and the right temperature. And all of a sudden it bursts full of life. The ugly dead shell of that seed cracks open and life springs forth. It's really amazing to see. And then it begins to sprout and to grow, just like this scripture says, until you have a full corn and an ear full of seeds. We are to plant the seed or the word in our heart. We've been told this. This is the time, the season, when we are to plant and nurture. that seed so it would begin to grow. This is the experiment that we've been asked to conduct. Even if we'd start with just a little bit of faith, start with that. We know from the grain of a mustard seed, smaller than a BB, maybe a millimeter or so, that thing can grow and grow and grow to almost 20 feet tall. A miracle. If we have just a little bit of faith, the things that God can do with that. I was really inspired by a story that I saw a few weeks ago. There's a place in the contiguous 48 states of the United States. It's the lowest, hottest, driest area in North America. It's a little over 100 miles long, 5 to 15 miles wide, 282 feet below sea level. I didn't know this, but it's nearly about 100 miles away from the highest point in the contiguous United States, which would be Mount Whitney in California. This place is walled by high, steep mountain ranges. It averages just over 2 inches of rain per year, compared to our 39 inches here in Kansas City. On average, 192 days out of the year, the daily temperature reaches at least 90 degrees. In 2001, there were 154 consecutive days where the temperature reached over 100 consecutive days. It holds the record for the hottest temperature recorded on Earth, 134 degrees. Perhaps you know where this place is. Perhaps you know what it is referred as. It was named by some gold rush prospectors in the year of 1849 on their way out to California seeking gold and treasure. Thirteen pioneers and their party perished in this place. And it was rightfully called Death Valley. I'd be curious, I haven't been there. Has anyone been there? No. Okay. It was probably hot and dry, wasn't it? Yeah. There has been a lot of tragedy in that place. It's a desolate region. There is not much life in Death Valley, rightfully named. There's not a lot of farmers in Death Valley. Well, something amazing happened this year. They're calling it a super bloom. And I encourage you to do some research on this, because I was fascinated. There have been billions and billions of seeds in that region. And this year, because of the fall and the winter rains, those seeds have germinated. And there are acres and acres of flowers. One of the most beautiful things I've ever seen through pictures. all kinds of flowers, golden fields, white flowers, purples, pinks, oranges, every color you can imagine. In this place of desolation, God can create miracles that are for us to see. These seeds were not planted by man, but by God Himself. And they've laid dormant for years, if not decades, for just the right time. I was completely inspired by this. And the life in which we live, oh, how we get down and depressed and discouraged. We see death around us, not only physical, but spiritual. And we wonder, how on earth can Zion ever come to pass? Well, with God's miraculous power, if He can turn a field of desolation into something beautiful, He can do it with you and me. We have to believe this. Through death of ourselves and our selfish ways comes life through the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. A super bloom. And the valley of death. Unfortunately, in a few weeks, all those beautiful flowers will most likely be scorched and will wither away and die and spread their seeds again for another time. We are taught in the parable of the sower, this word, this seed that we receive in our heart, there are many different ways that we can receive this or not. For there are some seeds that will fall by the wayside and Satan come and snatches them up before they can take root. There are some that will fall amongst the stony ground and will anxiously accept it, but for a time only. And the sun will scorch it, and it will not thrive. There are other seeds that will be planted in ground that is among thorns. Oh, how we fight against those thorns in our lives. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, those things that distract us from producing fruit. And then there are those seeds that fall on good ground, and they are continually nourished, and they grow, and with a little bit of faith, they produce fruit. What a beautiful example. I appreciate the lilies that we see here in the sanctuary. The Easter lilies. Consider the lilies of the field. For they toil not, neither do they spin. But Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. It's a miracle. The Lord's message to us is very simple. He says, I love you. That's why I came to this earth and died. He simply wants a relationship with us on a daily basis. He wants to commune with us. He wants to show us greater things than we are allowing Him to show us because of our lack of faith. He wants us to look forward to the time of His coming. We have a family dog. Her name is Roxy, a little cockapoo. Roxy is loved by her family, and she loves her family. At this very minute, Roxy's in a kennel, awaiting our return. And from past experience, I know that when our car rounds the bend, she will get excited and start to wag her tail and pace back and forth. And when we pull up to the door, she will be sending out a piercing bark that is not very pleasant. But she is so excited to see us. She just wants to be loved. Our Master wants us to be excited to see Him. To look forward to His coming. To wait with a great anticipation that we may be found seeking and watching for the signs of His return. He simply wants to love us and for us to love Him. This is why He came and died. So that we could be with Him in eternity. Do you love Him? Go and sow the seeds and nourish them and bring forth great fruit that we may all enjoy. It's my prayer.
A little birdie told me that this is probably Kathleen's last service as head of the choir. So I know I speak for Joe and for the pastorate and all of us as this congregation when we express our gratitude to her. For lo, these many years of bringing inspiration into our worship and for opening an avenue where so many of these young people can bring their gift of song and worship to the Master who is the one is the reason for all that we do here in this place. Shall we stand for the benediction? As I prepared for my this service this morning, I prayed for the service and for Mike. And it occurred to me that I wasn't here when their priesthood office was voted on by the branch. And I felt sensitive to the matter that I should do that at this time. We all need these little encouragements to build our faith and to keep us in the right way as we go through life. And I offer this testimony to the inspiration of that which has been done is right and is in accordance with the Lord's will for this branch. And we ask him to bless them in their work and in their efforts and in their study, that the world would not ensue and encroach upon their ministry, but they will keep a steady hand at the wheel of Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, for this hour together, which we remember those words, he is not here, but he is risen. And Father, those words that Christ uttered, I will not leave you comfortless. And so we are comforted in life as we pass through the experiences through which we have been ordained. And we know that as the world enters into this time of great confusion, which is spoken of by the Master, and encouraged us at a time that we should rejoice that our redemption cometh. We ask these young men, all who have taken the mantle of your ministry, we pray for them that they might have opportunity in life to enjoy and to be part of the construction in the building of the temple in Zion, a temple that is sacred and unclean from the hands of wickedness, but is built and erected as a place for the return of the Master of men. We look forward to that time and we rejoice together in that beautiful priesthood which you have given to us to bring us to that place where we are worthy and sanctified through the experiences of life and by thy Spirit to be that people which are anticipating and looking forward to the return of that one which has departed us but has gave us the promise that he will return. Help our faith and then strengthen us in all ways where we need it. Forgive us of our errors and bring us to that point that we may love thee and one another as we ought. We humbly ask in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.